Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Crowd starting to head to the exits here at Chase Center. Tatum working time at half court, pass to Smart, wheels and fires. Brown dishes to Horford at the cup, scored and won. Emblematic of a fourth quarter domination by the Celtics here in San Francisco.
The Celtics strike first. They lead the series now 1-0. Al Horford, 26 points. Jaylen Brown, 24 points. Derek White, 21 points. Jason Tatum didn't have a great night shooting, but had a lot of assists. True team win, and what a fourth quarter domination by the Celtics. And our resident Celtics fan is over here literally dancing.
It was amazing. Now, I'm not going to lie. I did leave the Chili's I was watching the game at the start of the fourth quarter with the Celtics down 15. But as soon as I started listening to the game, and you can hear all of the NBA Finals right here on ESPN 97.5. What a plug, Paul, making the big bucks. I heard this entire comeback on the radio to the point where when I finally got back to my place, I thought to myself, I'm not superstitious, but I think I need to stay in the car. I think I need to listen to the whole NBA Finals in my car. I actually went through my head, but then I said, nah, I'll be fine if I go inside. I went inside and the victory continued, and I'm very relieved.
Paul's a true dad in training, by the way, because he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He watched the NBA Finals at Chili's, and he left in the fourth quarter. That is the most dad thing I've ever heard.
I wanted to get... And listened on the radio.
Right, yeah. Yes.
Well, I mean, you really hear the majesty of basketball on the radio broadcast. And, of course, what would you rather listen to? Would you rather hear Doris Burke, or would you rather hear Mark Jackson? That answer should never, ever even have to be, you know, assumed Mark Jackson. If you think it's Mark Jackson, like, you're crazy. I don't know what's wrong with you. So actually, yeah, considering the broadcast of the game was without Mike Breen and without Jeff Van Gundy,
yeah,
both of whom had
COVID.
Right, which apparently is still getting tested for.
Insane.
I don't know who the guy on play-by-play was. I couldn't hear him on the call. All I know is that more Mark Jackson in my life is not what I needed while I was watching the Boston Celtics face off against Steph Curry, who hit six threes in the first quarter and had me terrified, absolutely terrified. That they were able to win this game with Derek bleeping White, as you said, scoring a bunch, that Al Horford had the quarter that he had as well. It really is incredible, because there was a point during this game where I'm like, wait a second. Okay, Steph Curry, I get it. But Otto Porter's hitting every shot that he takes? Otto Porter, yes, that Otto Porter, who I didn't even know was on the Warriors. Okay, I guess. I guess this isn't their night.
And this is not anything against ESPN television, but they did have a banner this morning that said, should Golden State panic?
Oh,
after game one. Yes, after game one, should Golden State panic?
Well, it is natural in basketball, I think, more than any other sport, to overreact after game one. This is likely going seven. I'm just shocked that Boston was able to win on a night where Steph Curry was on one. I mean, Steph is absolutely terrifying when he gets hot. And six threes in one quarter, 21 points.
NBA Finals record, I believe, is what Hannah Storm said this morning on ESPN.
I guess if you want to do any second guessing, you could say, well, Steph Curry's red hot, and Steve Kerr pulled him from the game for a good amount of time. Was that smart? But, I mean, shoot, they still were.
That's a good question. That may be brought up more. Do you think that could be the case?
It may be. It's tricky, though, because, again, seven-game series, but you have the many days off in between games. All I will say in totality is that, I mean, Golden State gave Boston a pretty damn good punch, and Boston was somehow able to rally with a historic quarter. And, I guess the question is, what's more likely to happen again? Steph Curry going nuclear like he did in the first quarter, or a bunch of random Celtics doing what they did in the fourth? No offense to Al Horford, and especially no offense to Derek White, but, I mean, that quarter made no sense.
Warriors 9-0 at home in the playoffs heading into game one. They were at home for this, and the Celtics kind of beat them at their own game, winning first game of the NBA Finals 120-108. Next game is Sunday, I believe, And that game, again, will be in Golden State before it switches over to Boston. But a very happy Paul Gallant this morning. Just so you guys know, we're wearing Hawaiian on Friday.
A lot of lettuce being shown right now.
I wear a lot of black, so the best I could do is a flower in my
Gothic,
hair.
Gothic, yeah.
And but Paul and Sean are both rocking not only Hawaiian, but Paul has a lot of an aggressive amount of chest hair showing.
It's two buttons down, too. So, this shirt's just like got a deeper V. Sean Mapes, I don't see chest hair.
I'll button a little less.
Oh, okay. We're going a little too far then on that point. And yeah, since my favorite television show, The Boys, is back on Amazon Prime.
Never heard of it.
Starting today. It's a show. It's basically a superhero show, but imagine the superhero show are about as trustworthy as our politicians today.
Oh, wow.
And they're all terrible human beings.
So, like America.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. It's very dark, funny, and Billy Butcher is my favorite character on the show. So, yeah, I also brought in a trench coat to wear on top of the Hawaiian shirt because that's what Billy Butcher does. Love.
Yeah, so he walks in and he has a big black, just so everybody knows, I've never seen this show, so I don't know what this character does or looks like. Paul walks in with the Hawaiian shirt and then has a huge black blazer. And I'm like, did I miss the moment?
It's a trench coat. It's not a blazer.
Okay, trench coat. That it's half Hawaiian, half business professional?
No.
I didn't exactly know what was going on.
It's not, there's no
half. And again, the chest hair. Just to remind everybody, the chest hair is a big factor here.
I don't manscape there. So, and on top of that, I can't help what my body is, Vanessa.
Okay.
So, me and my body
issues. The man that body shames everybody is now complaining about being body shamed. Boy, you cried wolf. All right. Every now and then when you talk about somebody that's incredibly smart, an analytics guy, et cetera, whether
Nerds?
It's Nick Caserio, whether it's James Click in the sports world.
My bad.
They use some words that are not common vocabulary. And that happened yesterday as James Click talked about Hunter Brown, prospect who's been pitching very well for the Space Cowboys. Quote, and I don't even know if I can say these words right. Quote, I don't think there's a preponderance of evidence that would have a massively deleterious effect.
That's the one I don't know.
On his prospect status and ability to help us as a starter in the future, Click said. But the fact of the matter is right now we view him as a starting pitching prospect and long term we think that's what his role is going to be. Preponderance of evidence that would have a massively deleterious effect. James Click, I like you. I think you do an amazing job. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know, but, you know, Hunter Brown sure be bussing in the minor leagues for real. You know, no cap. That's what we see. It's funny. I understand Generation Z lingo more than I understand deleterious.
Yeah. So we've talked about this behind the scenes that Paul and I aren't really up to date, and really Sean either with some of the terms. Yesterday I saw, or a couple days ago, I saw somebody say something was mid, and I didn't know what it meant. I looked it up. It means
mediocre, right?
Yeah, like mediocre.
Well, don't forget, you also asked one of the interns after the show, and or it was two of them, and they both just started laughing at you.
Yeah, they did laugh at me. They kept laughing at me. It didn't stop.
Well, listen, we're going to bring some of these interns in at some point, and we're going to have a Gen Z off. And, like, just how Gen Z are you? And my goal in life going forward, much like a lot of dads, is to make things that Generation Z think is cool, not cool. I am going to appropriate them. Not cool to appropriate somebody of a different culture, but it is cool to appropriate people younger than you so that they're forced to find something that's cooler, I guess.
Mid, no cap, bussin', just some of the several things.
On God, bro.
On God.
That's cap.
Nah, fam.
Cap, fam. I thought dank was something. They told me dank was incorrect.
No, you dead ass for real. Mad sussy.
FRFR means for real. I know that.
And I vibe it. Yeah. I vibe for real.
We said, we're, you know.
No cap.
The vibes are immaculate.
No flex.
here on a Friday.
The vibes are immaculate. I do know what that means, but that one kind of speaks for itself. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Fitzmagic was a vibe for sure. Fitzmagic, as well as another future NFL legend, calling it a day. That's next.
But first, can't call it a day whenever you're talking to my friends at the Passive Investor Network. Just hung out with them yesterday. And look,
a lot of you guys are probably at a point in your life where you're like, hey, how the hell am I going to afford money to put into real estate investment? And honestly, that's sort of the place I'm at right now. I'm a guy who's in a ton of credit card debt, and I'm also a guy who just bought a condo. So it's not like I exactly have a whole lot of money to move around. But the Passive Investor Network, they actually do have a plan for everybody, no matter what your income might be, no matter what your situation might be. Because aren't we all in a point in our lives where we're just waiting to get to this arbitrary checkpoint down the road before we maybe decide to make the big purchase or the big move? The Passive Investor Network will sit down with you and actually talk about how you can get there, but also talk about how you can use real estate to increase you and your family's wealth. And they do it in a fantastic way. They take you on a bus tour, and there's one that's coming up. It's right around the corner, June 18th. And on that bus tour, promo code ESPN to get on it for free. They're going to take you all around the city of Houston and show you places that they think are going to turn into the next version of essentially the Heights. So you want to get in touch with them. It's the Passive Investor Network, passiveinvestor.net. Again, passiveinvestor.net, promo code ESPN for the bus tour coming up June 18th.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
TGIF, we're rolling along on a Friday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass for us. It's Hawaiian Day, so I have a flower in my hair, which is the most I can do. Sean Mapes has a green and white Hawaiian shirt on. And then Paul Gallant has a very colorful Hawaiian shirt on with a lot of chest hair.
It's a tropical shirt Friday. This has been established by Cody Stutes of the Wheelhouse. And as someone who has way too many Hawaiian or tropical shirts, whatever you want to call them, I am 100% on board. In fact, I was already doing it. I just wasn't making it a thing. But now it is a thing. And I like that you got the little flower going
on. Thank you. Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Appreciate it.
We look very tropical. Where are our pina coladas?
Yes, we're very good teammates when it's something that's very easy for us to do. So
yeah. That's the key.
All I had to do was set a calendar alert on my phone to remind me last night that it's Hawaiian Shirt Friday.
I did the same thing. I did it on my alarm.
Yeah, you gotta iron the shirt, you know, gotta get the cat hair off of it, which I have to do with all of my shirts. It's amazing how much hair like just gets just attracted from the cat to any shirt that I have.
Does Aria shed?
Oh my God, it's a lot. She's a very furry cat. So.
Very furry cat. Mm-hmm. Somebody else that showed a lot of chest hair at times. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh, great. That's a great transition.
Thank you. Hanging it up after 17 seasons in the NFL. He technically played in 2021, that season opener. He got injured and was never able to bounce back, but we saw him being a true fan in the stands and the audience, and obviously one of the most probably entertaining guys to have in press conferences, the last of a dying breed, didn't care about PR answers and just had a lot of fun.
Before we go down memory road with him, can you think of a Harvard grad who is more down to earth than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
It's a great point.
A little different because he played in the NFL, obviously. But I mean, still, if you go to Harvard, you're a pretty damn intelligent person, regardless of whether or not you're there for athletics or academics first. It's a very difficult school to get into. They don't give you a scholarship. And, I mean, he's the first quarterback in NFL history to play from Harvard. But I've always found him remarkably down-to-earth and friendly. And what I really liked about him...
Because you were here when he was here,
oh,
right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, so I was not here in Houston when he was here.
He was here in the 2014 season. That was the first year that Bill O'Brien was in charge. Jadeveon Clowney was the first overall pick. It was a entertaining year. Now... He got benched in that season for Ryan Mallett. And then Ryan Mallett, after two games, one of them was against Cleveland. I forget the other game because I think Fitzpatrick was benched in the middle of it. But Mallett played well against Cleveland in this game where they ran for a ton of yards and he got injured. So after he got injured, they went back to Ryan Fitzpatrick the next week. And Fitzpatrick threw for 6 touchdown passes against the Tennessee Titans, which is peak Fitzpatrick because he's also a guy who 2 years later would throw 6 interceptions in a game.
He was very, very inconsistent, and that's kind of the things that all of the articles addressed and all of the SportsCenter segments addressed was the fact that he was known to be infamously kind of inconsistent, but when he was on it, he was on it. He was really, really great. And again, he had a lot of fun press conference moments. I give you Ryan Fitzpatrick making his son, he has seven children, making one of his sons do math, and this was at a Texans press conference.
I want you to give Brady two numbers from 90 to 99 in there, and he's going to multiply them together for you. Two 90 numbers.
All right. You ready? 93, 97. 9,021.
Brian, can you look at your calculator, please? Does that say 9,021?
Boom!
Thank you.
One of the many funny Ryan Fitzpatrick moments.
My favorite memory, and I remember being in the press conference room for that, and I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention because I was on my laptop writing like a sports flash, because that was when I was at the flagship doing post-game updates, but also I would go in there and I would ask questions. And I just remember looking up like, wait a second, why is there an army of small children behind Ryan Fitzpatrick? And he has one of them just do a math problem. Boom! Gets out. It was pretty impressive. And, you know, that Harvard education, clearly a solid genetical foundation point. A couple of comments as far as other down-to-earth folks from Harvard. I'm not sure if I could say JFK is on that list.
No.
I mean,
if
the guy was
with Marilyn Monroe, you're not down-to-earth.
Yeah, you're a president. Sorry. The Kennedys are totally different. You might have come off that way. Conan O'Brien, though, is actually a fantastic answer. I love Conan. Ryan Fitzpatrick also, in the midst of a game against the Dallas Cowboys, at the end of the game, he's got blood all over his face.
The blood interview.
Right. And Tracy Wolfson from CBS comes over to interview him.
Coach.
And, what's that from?
That's her. That's how she talks. Is it not, Sean?
Does she have an accent?
Coach. Yeah, she's from Minnesota.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to listen for that. I've never heard that before. Anyway, Tracy Wolfson interviewing Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is amazing.
So, congratulations. And let's start with the obvious. What happened over there in the top of your nose?
I still haven't seen it, so I don't know how ugly it is. But I don't know. We're just out there playing. My helmet came down on me. Is this live?
Of course it's live. Keep going, though.
The latter part was Ryan Fitzpatrick. The first weird noise you heard was Nick Mangold coming.
Also very entertaining.
Yes.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick hanging it up after 17 seasons. There is a rumor that he's heading to Amazon to join that broadcast team. Now, we will address this in a couple of segments because sports media resident nerd here. Absolutely love all of this stuff.
I would love to hear him on a broadcast.
He
I mean,
would
that guy is
excellent.
If we're talking Q rating, Vanessa, as far as marginal NFL players go, I mean, look, he had a really good career, but he is not even on Tony Romo's level, you know, like even close. This was a capable journeyman quarterback. But as far as universal approval, who can you think of that dislikes Ryan Fitzpatrick? And that's what you want in the booth. You want a likable guy.
That's what I was about to say, is sometimes you don't need a Hall of Famer. If the person is good enough, I mean, nobody's going to sit there and be like, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, you know, was inconsistent. If he's really good, he's really good. He may end up being better if he does color commentary. He may end up being better than Tom Brady.
I would say so. Like based off of what we know of Ryan Fitzpatrick versus what we're learning about Tom Brady, that's certainly fair. And I mean, shoot, with Tony Romo, who I haven't been the biggest fan of over the last couple of seasons, because I do think that he checks out on games that turn into blowouts, and also that he has gotten, I don't know, it doesn't feel like he's as prepped as he used to be. Let's just say that. But the reason that Romo has worked is not because he was a successful quarterback, because what? Is he even the fourth best quarterback in Cowboys history? I mean, he's definitely not Staubach or Troy Aikman. So, but the thing that he does have is that he is a fun hang, and he is somebody that you would enjoy probably sitting down with and watching a football game with. And that's what you should be looking for with these broadcast choices, which we will expand on later.
Yes.
But I would love to see Fitzpatrick in the booth.
Frank Gore also calling it a day after 16 seasons. He's kind of been out of the game for a while, but this is official. He's going to sign a one-day contract with the 49ers, who, of course, drafted him, retire with them. I was actually able to cover Frank when he was with the Colts from 15 to 17 because I was a college student in Indianapolis, and he was super nice. One of those guys that's just very intense and just built differently. Definitely, obviously, going to go in the 49ers Hall of Fame. Guys, Frank Gore, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame.
Can you guess?
Canton Gold Jacket. Yes or no?
Well, I'll ask you this question before I answer your question. Guess where Frank Gore ranks all-time among running backs in terms of all-time rushing yards.
I don't know.
This will blow your mind. Third. He's third all-time. Only Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton are ahead of him. He has 1,600 even total yards, which is slightly ahead of, which is almost 1,000 yards ahead of Barry Sanders and more than 1,000 yards ahead of Adrian Peterson, who are fourth and fifth. Now, I don't think we'd put, in terms of overall skill set and athletic ability, Frank Gore on their level. But Frank Gore is a guy who overcame so many injuries over the course of his career. One of the toughest running backs, I think, in league history. Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
First ballot?
I don't know about first ballot, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Because I saw that debate on Twitter on whether or not he would be first ballot, and I thought that was interesting. But he was so fun to watch play. It's right that he's doing it with the 49ers.
I don't know when we will see a running back from today's era get to 12,000-plus rushing yards again. Because if you just take a look at the all-time list, as far as guys that have played recently that are high up, I mean, LeSean McCoy is 22nd all-time with 11,000 rushing yards. It's a list that features a lot of names that are older, and with running backs being really running back by committee now.
I was going to say the game has just changed.
Yeah. So, I mean, Gore, I think by default has to. Because what's really getting weird with wide receivers in the Hall of Fame, and we talked about this with Keyshawn Johnson a couple of weeks ago.
Sure.
Keyshawn Johnson had great numbers when he was playing. I don't know if he was a Hall of Famer, but his numbers have been completely lapped by some of the guys that are in the game today.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, speaking of the NFL guys, 97, not sure if my math is right, need one of Ryan Fitzpatrick's kids to help me out there, 97 days until the NFL season. We're talking about who you think could win the Defensive Player of the Year and which quarterback is under the most pressure, and we want you guys' input. That's next.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Paul's finding more stats that are mind-blowing per our earlier conversation about Frank Gore retiring.
It really is fascinating how few all-time rushing yards running backs today have. So, technically, per this Pro Football Reference list, Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson are number one and two among active NFL rushers. Gore just retired. Peterson, I don't believe, is on the team right now. I could be wrong on that. Who is number three? And the hint is that he has been here, and he has been here recently.
Rex Burke. No, is it Mark Ingram?
It is Mark Ingram.
Wow.
Mark Ingram with 7,878 rushing yards after those two is, if this website is correct, and this Pro Football Reference is the active all-time leader in rushing yards. Ezekiel Elliott is fourth with 7,386. Derrick Henry doesn't even have 7,000 rushing yards. He's got 6,797.
Who's one?
After on this list, it's Gore and Peterson and two, and then it's Ingram, Elliott, and Henry. It's nuts. We're never like
So theoretically, like if like Peterson doesn't find a team, or Ingram, I don't know if he's on a team or if he gets cut.
Ingram
training
is
camp.
Technically still with Saints, right?
Right.
Like Ezekiel Elliott next year could like be the active leader in rushing yards.
Yep,
a guy who was drafted in like 2016.
Right. I mean, the only reason he's still going to get rushing, too, is because of that ridiculous contract that the Cowboys gave him. Because Pollard, a lot of Cowboys would argue, is better than Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if I 100% buy that, but still.
But that's what a lot of them say. You're right.
They're the ones that are watching it every Sunday, so who am I to say, like, oh, well, your eyes are wrong. I would just, you know, say, well, Elliott's got all that talent, but yeah, he's a bit of a knucklehead, too.
We're also seeing with these guys like Frank Gore and Ryan Fitzpatrick, obviously very different guys, but both NFL journeymen. 16 years for Frank Gore, 17 technically for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think we're seeing the end of that too. I mean, that's just my personal opinion, is that we're seeing the end of those guys that play for nearly two decades. If you count college, right? Yeah. They're playing for two decades on a really, really high level. Maybe it's the CTE stuff. Maybe it's guys wanting more of a life outside of football, but that's going to be few and far between.
Think about some of the linebackers who have walked away. Luke Kuechly. You saw Patrick Willis.
Right.
Now, that's a very, very violent position. But, yeah, I think you're right. It varies position to position. Quarterbacks are so protected. I think we're going to see more quarterbacks playing into their 40s. But I also think, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of guys who are just going to be walking away early. And in a league where the bell cow running back is becoming more and more of a, you know, rarity, it's also going to be something that we don't see a whole lot of in the near future. Guys who are, I don't know, like Hall of Fame capable running backs.
Right. Yeah. All right. Frank Gore and Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, hanging it up after 16 and 17 years in the league, respectively. Good for both of them. Fitzpatrick, of course, super, super entertaining. Okay. 97 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. Obviously, I'm excited. We know that we're going to have a lot of action before then. OTAs, we'll get into training camp and then the preseason. But this is 97 days out, guys, until that opener. 97. What's your 97 jersey pick for today?
Okay, so there's a couple of options here. You could say Geno Atkins, who was defensive tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals not too long ago.
Nice guy.
Where is Atkins playing?
It's a great
top of my head, I don't
question.
Know, but I know Atkins in the early 2010s, you could argue, was one of the best defensive tackles in the
free
NFL.
Agent.
He has not signed with anyone. I remember the Seahawks were talking about signing him. Cam Hayward is probably the best current wearer of number 97 on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I heard him on the Mina Kimes podcast this week. We should try to have him on the show at some point. And I'm going to go with number 97, Simeon Rice.
Ooh.
Simeon Rice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he joined on that early 2000s team, one of the key pieces that helped them win that Super Bowl. So Simeon Rice is what we'll go with, number 97.
Simeon Rice, 97 days until the world is back to where it should be with NFL football. So we're asking a question every day NFL related. We very much want you guys' opinion, text or call 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet us, you can Twitch us, et cetera, et cetera. Pick, you guys' pick for Defensive Player of the Year this year.
I thought it would be fun to insert a little gambling into this one,
too. Ooh, gambling expert.
Because, of course, we do.
We do one segment, and now you're an addict.
I am. I'm a degenerate.
There's a
now.
Helpline for that, Paul.
I am. Well, that's fine, you know. But, look, who do you think is going to win it? And here are the best odds at the top of the board right now. You have Aaron Donald at 7-1, T.J. Watt at 7-1, Myles Garrett at 7-1, Micah Parsons of the Cowboys at 10-1, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Chase Young, Khalil Mack, Von Miller. Those are all the guys that are 25-1 or higher. I know who I want to win the award, Vanessa, especially because whenever he talks, he is just hilarious. This was Micah Parsons yesterday when asked if he was going to lead the team in sacks again.
I want D-Law to step up. I want him to be who he is. I'm not taking that away from him, but sorry, telling him he's never getting that back ever in his life. You know, he got to enjoy it. I want him to get all the enjoyment that he possibly can, feed his head so he can be a 10 sack guy. Great. But if 10's the number, I'm going for 20, you know.
He's referring to DeMarcus Lawrence. I love Micah Parsons. I know he's a Dallas Cowboy.
Very entertaining.
But the guy is an incredible player, can play just about any position, plays violently, hits quarterbacks, can cover guys, smashes people around. And on top of that, I bet he could play on the offensive side of things if he wanted. But even better, he is just so matter of fact with anything he says, and he clearly does not give a single bleep about what he says either. I love it.
I would love to see Von Miller win Defensive Player of the Year, and then retire off into the sunset.
Now,
this is somebody that has really had a storybook career, a couple of Super Bowls, different teams. He's one of the rare guys that he's gotten to go places and make a lot of money while also signing with very good teams.
Buffalo now.
Super Bowl MVP. I would love to see the Bills win the Super Bowl. I think that I'm, you know, not in the minority there at all. I think that they have a really good shot at it.
They do have a shot at
it. And I would love to see him ride off into the sunset with a defensive player of the
year. He's at 25-1 for those odds to win defensive player of the year.
Sean.
I'm going to go with someone who knows his role. That's very important, defense. Ooh. Knowing your role, your assignment. And this guy knows he's not a judge, he's not a jury, and he sure isn't the executioner. Give me Myles Garrett.
Oh, it's 7-1, though. Come on. That's boring. It's a good call.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna sack a bunch of quarterbacks.
Have you noticed?
And that's really the stat that gets you the award now is just sack.
That's a good point. Myles Garrett, of course, yesterday, what Sean's referencing, saying when it comes to Deshaun Watson that he ain't the judge, the jury, or the executioner. That escalated quickly. But that's Sean Mapes' pick.
It also sounded like he bullied Jadeveon Clowney to show up for this offseason. If you continue listening to the press conference, which, you know, you got to give him credit. If you could get Jadeveon Clowney to show up for practice, I mean, good job by you. Here's the guy that I think, though, is the fun play if you want to do a little gambling here.
Ooh.
Because he's at 35-1. And I think this was like one of the best moves of the offseason, especially considering the division that he plays in has the best quarterbacks. It has Russell Wilson, it has Patrick Mahomes, and it has Justin Herbert. Chandler Jones is 35-1 now with the Las Vegas Raiders. That's a good one if you're a gambling person out there. And I like the futures. The futures are fun. You know, it's like buying a little scratch ticket. Whatever. Put $10 down. Hey, let's see what happens.
97 days out from the NFL season. Who is the quarterback that you guys think is under the most pressure this coming season to perform? I started typing Carson Wentz, but then I thought about the fact that I don't know that anyone is delusional enough to believe that he's going to be great.
No expectations anymore.
I mean, Ron Rivera has maybe convinced himself. I actually think it's Kyler Murray. I think it is put up or shut up time. I think they brought in his friend with Hollywood Brown. They have a great defense. They are going to be accommodating to him eventually with this contract. The two sides, you know, his agent, Eric Burkhardt, and hopefully Steve Keim can reach an agreement. And so I think it's Kyler, because I think it's time for him to do more than just win 7 games and then fall off.
That's a very good, I think, naming, because, look, he has been a giant jackass this offseason. There's no other way to look at it. He has been, I think, destroying whatever public support he might have with this complaining over his contract, when he has proven over the last couple of years that he can't finish out a season. He could change that, obviously, but I mean, the performance against the Rams too, where he doesn't want to go back on the field, it's an awful look. He's got a lot to prove, that's for sure, especially if it comes to being a good quarterback. But I don't think his job security is a question. And I'll go back to when the Miami Dolphins signed Teddy Bridgewater. Mm. And Teddy Bridgewater basically was saying, yeah, I and when asked about whether or not he'd be the starting quarterback, like he didn't hide. He didn't say necessarily the wrong thing, you know, like we might have argued Ryan Tannehill did. But when you hear Tua Tagovailoa facing all the criticism that he's facing online and being asked about it like this at yesterday's press conference, I mean, that's my nominee. He's, I think, under a ton of pressure, and I bet he could be benched by midway through the year.
All the bad news I hear from Ann, you know, Ann tells me, hey, I don't know if you heard about this, but they say that. I'm like, Ann, why would you want to bring that up to me? But she brings it up just so I'm aware with the questions that you guys are going to ask me. You know, for me, it's just zone that out. I mean, we come out to practice, everyone else, Twitter warriors, you know, keyboard warriors, whatever you want to call them. You know, they're not out here practicing with us working hard. So I don't know if you guys recorded that last one to Tyreek, but
yeah, they're not a lot.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
I mean, yeah, they're not allowed to shoot it, okay?
Yeah.
Come on, NFL PR. Here's the thing, that I agree with you. The Dolphins brought in, obviously, Mike McDaniel. They brought in offensive coordinator Frank Smith, who's made his way up in the NFL as well. I think the training wheels come off Tua this year. I think he's expected to perform.
Got Tyreek, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they brought in pieces around him. They drafted pieces. So, yeah, I like that answer. What about you, Sean?
Is Kirk Cousins under any pressure to keep his job?
No, he's just got a weird lifetime contract in Minnesota, and Vikings fans hate him. When they announced that they extended Kirk Cousins online, you should have checked the responses to that tweet by the Vikings. It was hilarious. They were like, no, kill us. And that's, as far as fan bases across the NFL, like, that's a pretty damn cursed one.
It is, yeah. 6133 says the quarterback under the most pressure is Jalen Hurts. The Eagles went and got A.J. Brown, paid him, so Hurts has to prove.
I was trying not to go with the young guy. That's I was trying to think of a veteran who's under pressure.
I think Hurts is fine. Much like with Davis Mills, I think Hurts and Davis Mills this year are totally fine. Like, there's no one that's challenging them on the roster. But they do have a lot to prove this year, because if they don't, I think both Philadelphia and Houston would think about drafting another guy.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Paul's favorite quarterback makes an awesome, really great, engaging video. Great content, and we're going to play it for you next.
It's Tom Brady.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Oh, my God.
Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
Oh, my God, why?
Broncos country, let's ride.
Why?
Is Paul Gallant's favorite quarterback, that of course is Russell Wilson. He's now with the Denver Broncos.
I thought we were going to hear Tom Brady, not like Russell Wilson trying to figure out the best way to say his new stupid catchphrase that he's trying to make happen.
He's trying to make fetch happen. That video, by the way, we don't usually see this from sports accounts on Twitter, where they really let you behind the scenes of making a promo like that. But that came from the Broncos Twitter. And it's essentially a video of Russell Wilson in uniform with a football looking at the camera saying, Broncos country, let's ride, a million different ways. And some like intern social media person in the background saying, one more time.
I never want to hear that again the rest of my life. Not once. Okay? Honestly, I feel a little bit misled.
Dirty. Yeah, no. You know what? Here's the thing.
I thought, Vanessa, because you said my favorite quarterback in this segment, that we were going to hear from my Lord and Savior, the Holy One, Tom Brady. Instead, that.
I just felt
Broncos
like...
Broncos country, let's ride.
No. This is not like, fair, guys. This
felt like tricking you a little bit. Every week that Russell Wilson has a good game is going to be really hard for Paul Gallant.
No, it'll be bad. Look, he's gonna do well the first half of the year. I just think it's gross that he forced his way out of town. I really do. Because the guy, it's not, if he had just forced his way out of town without saying he wanted to stay in Seattle and acting like all of the noise that we heard last year was complete BS. If he had just been honest and said, yeah, I don't want to play here anymore, honestly, I wouldn't have the issue that I have.
Is your problem the fact that he forced his way out of town, or the fact that he did it and tried to act like a good guy? Because the latter is my issue. Yeah, the latter is what's obnoxious to me. Like, if you're going to force your way out of town,
just do it.
Really do it. And, and more so, I say this with everything in life, like, own your stuff. Almost made the dumb butt happen for Sean Mapes. Just own what you do.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah, let's ride.
To Harden's credit, even. I mean, Harden made no bones about it. He was in the middle of a press conference. He was like, this is stupid. And there were a lot of people that defended him. Now, I didn't like it because there's an 8-year track record of where they did everything for him that he wasn't able to do anything with. And then he's like, all right, well, used all your resources. Used you like the giving tree. Bye.
I think you can do it in a way that's quote-unquote tactful but still honest, right? I think you can say, hey, I'm ready for something different, you know, that kind of thing, without going full, like, Russell Wilson, where he's acting like he's done nothing wrong, and where his answer changes all the time. Mm-hmm. Because he would be in press conferences saying one thing, and then we would know that the reality was much, much different. But yes, Broncos country, let's freaking ride. No. God, I cannot wait to play this cut and this clip over and over again.
He's going
to
ride a
Broncos
horse.
Country. Let's
ride. Ride a horse into
Paul's
the stadium.
Paul's going to see it in his sleep or hear it in his sleep.
Yes, I am. I'm not even a Seahawks fan, and this makes me upset for a city that I don't even live in anymore.
It may actually, though, be you may come out on top because he's in such a difficult division.
Well, if he wins in such a difficult division.
Oh, well, then that's going to be terrible for
you.
Because
everyone's going to be like, everyone in Seattle was wrong. Like, they did the wrong thing. Pete Carroll's a bad guy for not letting Russell Wilson cook,
Russ cook. Let Russ cook.
God, I have a t-shirt of that I bought ironically, and I still have it. I don't know why.
Speaking of
sell it. There's no value on it.
Guys trying to force their way out of town. Debo Samuel for a while was
hell-bent
hell-bent on leaving. 49ers GM John Lynch commented on this in a press conference saying, quote, "We haven't traded him, and I'd be a fool to trade him. So, yes, Deebo Samuel will be a part of the 49ers this season." John Lynch is somebody I actually believe. Like, I think his track record for the most part is being pretty transparent and honest. And he's right. He would be a fool to trade him.
He would be a fool to trade him, but as much as I love Deebo Samuel, there are parts that I understand where you should be also very, 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 very careful with what kind of contract you give the guy. He has suffered a lot of injuries to this point in his career, and while I think he is just fun to watch, plays the game exactly the way I want to see a wide receiver play, he blocks guys, he runs over guys, he is great after the catch, he's got an awesome name too. There's a lot of things about him that are cool. However, if you are someone that suffered a series of hamstring injuries and you've missed a lot of time, largely perhaps due to the fact that you play so physically, are we to believe that that's just not going to happen again? And if you give him a long-term extension, the assumption is going to be that he's going to be playing for you 14, 15, 16 games a season of the 17-game regular season and that he's going to be available for you in the playoffs. But can you guarantee that, where he has had some issues in every single year that he has played thus far? His rookie year, his second year in the league, especially, and this past season, too, there were some moments, even though he was awesome as he was.
We've had a lot of comments on which quarterback is under the most pressure this season. We've had a couple of Kyler Murray's. We've had a couple of Tua's, which were you and I's picks. Jameis Winston, maybe.
I don't think he has anything to lose. You know, I feel like last year there's a lot of positive goodwill for Jameis Winston going into the season because the Saints defense was really good all year long. And when Winston was healthy, outside of the game against New England, I thought he played pretty well. He's definitely better than whoever else New Orleans threw under center.
If for AFC, this to rope in a little bit AFC South corner impromptu, I figure Ryan Tannehill is under some pressure. Is Matt Ryan under pressure?
I think he's walked onto a team that is under a lot of pressure because of how much they crapped the bed last year against the Raiders and then eventually the Jags. I don't know that I'd say Matt Ryan is under pressure. I think he's proven that he can, hell, at times carry the freaking Falcons. But is he walking into a situation that automatically puts pressure on him? I think that might be true.
Fair.
Or does it become like Super Bowl or bust? I mean, maybe not in the AFC the way it's set up. No one's like, picking the Colts. But is it some sort of like the clock's ticking kind of thing with Matt Ryan?
Absolutely.
On
his career, he's 37.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
But he's won an MVP. He's been to a Super Bowl. Obviously, he didn't win it, but I don't think you would say that's Matt Ryan's fault that they weren't able to win that game. They were in field goal range, and they should have just stayed in field goal range. And Kyle Shanahan or Dan Quinn, whoever you want to point at, kept on putting their foot on the gas, and they drove through the garage and into the backyard. So I think with Ryan, he knows that he has had a good career. This isn't like with Ryan Tannehill, this is a matter of, can I be a backup going forward? Because if things don't work out for him, I think there's a real question about how he would handle it. And, based off of a quote,
well, we know he's not willing to mentor anybody.
Right. The quote was not a good look as far as that goes. I don't think we should make too much out of it, though, because that's what is Ryan Tannehill supposed to say there. I'm curious. I really am. About his long-term place in the league, where someone like Matt Ryan, there's always going to be a team, even if he were to retire after the year, Vanessa, that's going to be like, well, maybe we should. Because, it's sort of the same thing with Phillip Rivers and the Colts.
Totally.
And some of these veteran quarterbacks that have been really good for a while, maybe not Drew Brees or Ben Roethlisberger, who clearly look cooked, you're going to be like, all right, well, screw it. Let's see what happens.
And they're also fine being a backup if that's the – these aren't guys that have such a big ego that they're not willing to take on that role. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking NBA Finals last night plus a little bit of Astros. That's next.
This is ESPN 97.5.